Good morning. Today is a special feast day. At least I feel it's a special feast day in the church calendar. It doesn't always fall on a Sunday. Today is October 4th. It's the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. It's also my wife Mary and my 34th wedding anniversary, so we always think of the two together, October 4th, 10-4. And so what I'd like to do today is to talk a little bit about this great saint, St. Francis of Assisi, certainly one of my favorites, and give you a little insight and maybe some depth into what is behind his life and what I would call his theology that he offers us at this time. Some of us may know of St. Francis. He's oftentimes associated in kind of just, you know, the stories we tell of being someone who was concerned about nature, animals, the growth, things of trees and forests and plants and animals. You'll oftentimes, in some folks' gardens, you'll see a little statue of St. Francis. Sometimes you'll see him standing there with his hand extended, a little bird sitting in his hand, always trying to communicate this sense of St. Francis being integral with creation, with growth, with nature, with God's creation. It's one of the reasons it's so appropriate that he is considered the patron saint of creation, the patron saint of the care for creation, one of the five areas in our St. Paul's Cares ministry that is significant to us, caring for creation. St. Francis, in many ways, is a model for that. But let me explain a little bit of the depth of that for you. St. Francis was someone who grew up in a wealthy family and living his life, and he had this experience of God. You can read about his sort of transformation, his conversion experience, but he had this incredible experience in his life that turned him to something different than what he had grown to be. He had this vision in a church in Italy, sitting in a chapel in Assisi, an area of Italy, and in that experience, he heard God say to him, "Francis, rebuild my house. Francis, rebuild my house." And Francis heard that as a call, a life calling for him. And at that time, the church, the institutional church, the organizational church, needed some rebuilding. In many ways, it was moving further away from the gospel of Jesus. And Francis felt this call to call the church to something different, to call it back to its roots, to who Jesus was calling us to be. In many ways, Francis, whose call was to a life of poverty, a life of identifying with the poor and the oppressed, he used that power to stand against the power of the wealthy, the power of the wealthy that had really taken over the church in so many ways. And so he was a challenging voice, a prophetic voice in his time, and began to have followers follow him, living into this kind of a life together, known as the Franciscans. And so that's a little bit about St. Francis, some things we already know about St. Francis. But one of the great gifts that Francis had was his gift in the world of theology. And it's one that I may have shared with you in the past in different ways, but on this feast of St. Francis, I'd really like to highlight this a bit for you. For St. Francis, the most significant feast in the church year is Christmas, or the Incarnation. For Francis, that is a significant, significant celebration. For Francis, Easter is already in the Incarnation. And I'll talk a little bit about that. Francis is the one who, in many ways, highlights the celebration of Christmas as we know it today. As you know, here at St. Paul's, we oftentimes over here have that the stable, the creche, the Christmas stable with the manger and the wise men and the shepherds. And as we sometimes mention at Christmas time, that's one of the gifts of Francis. Francis developed and created that custom because in his time he wanted the people to understand the fullness and depth of the incarnation of this Christ becoming human. But here's what St. Francis offers a bit of a different sense of that incarnation. For many, we think that God sent Jesus the Christ into the world to save us from our sins. That God, the Creator, sent Jesus the Christ into the world because somehow the world had gotten off track. Somehow, God, the Creator, sent Jesus in the world to save us from our sins. Now, that's not wrong, but St. Francis gave a different emphasis to that. For Francis, this need of the creating God to send Jesus the Christ in the world was not some sort of plan B to clean up something that had happened along the way that wasn't intended. For Francis, God, the Creator, sending Jesus the Christ into the world was part of the plan of creation from the very beginning. Let me read a quote to you from my favorite Franciscan, Richard Rohr, who kind of emphasizes this sense of the understanding of this Christ coming into the world and the sense that Francis had of understanding that and teaching that. It's this. Franciscans never believed that blood atonement was required for God to love us. Our teacher, he's speaking as a Franciscan, his teacher, our teacher, John Duns Scotus, said, Christ was plan A from the very beginning. Christ wasn't a mere plan B after the first human sinned, which is the way most people seem to understand the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus. The great mystery of the incarnation could not be a mere mop-up exercise, a problem-solving technique, or dependent on human beings messing up. John Duns Scotus, one of the great Franciscans, taught that the enfleshment of God had to proceed from God's perfect love and God's perfect and absolute freedom, rather than from any mistake of ours. Did God intend no meaning or purpose for creation during the first 14.8 billion years? So in Franciscan parlance, Jesus did not come into the world to change the mind of God about humanity, as if the sin of Adam and Eve had somehow made God not like us so much anymore, even though the story of creation says that when God created humanity, he said, this is very good. This is very good. Francis captures that. So Christ did not come to change the mind of God about humanity. For Francis, God has always loved us, always cared for us. But for Francis, Jesus came to change the mind of humanity about God. Let me read that one more time. Jesus did not come to change the mind of God about humanity, but Jesus came to change the mind of humanity about God. And so for Francis, this great gift of the Christ is a gift to all. I recommend you read Richard Rohr's book, The Universal Christ, that really, really emphasizes this understanding of Christ in our midst. And so for Francis, Jesus comes into this world to show us the love that God has for us and calls us to know that this God loves us, and we are to mirror and image that love, to model that in our lives. And that's the great message of the crucifixion, that this Jesus sacrifices his life, offers his life, as a model for us of what we're called to do, to show this world that God loves us, to stand up as Francis did to the unjust power of his time, for us to stand up and sacrifice ourselves, modeled for us by Jesus the Christ. being willing to die to show how much God loves this world, loves this creation. And so for Francis, Christ coming into the world was not just some personal experience for me. You hear some within the Christian household express it. You know, are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus into your life? As if it's some sort of narcissistic way of accepting Christ. For Francis, the incarnation was this Christ coming into all of creation, showing all of creation its wovenness, its care that God has for it, its call to love one another and care for one another. That's the call we have. That's the call that we have to walk into, to realize how woven together we are. We don't earn God's love. God's love has been freely given in abundance, and Jesus the Christ is the expression of that, the model of that, the call we all have to live ever more deeply into that kind of love. And friends, we need that so much in this time, in this incredibly divisive time, negative time, angry time. We need to stand as a people, followers of this Christ, and remind this world that love is not necessary. You don't need to earn love. You don't need to earn God's love. You don't need to earn my love. You don't need to earn our love. As God, the Creator, loves all of us freely, we are called to love freely and change this world, transform this world, and sacrifice our lives to bring about that care and that love. So happy Feast of St. Francis. It's appropriate today that we gather and bless the animals, a sign of that connectedness that we all have, this wonderful, beautiful creation that God has given us. And if you're not able to join us for the blessing of the animals, may your pets, may those animals you've invited into your life, who you know, I know you love so dearly, we bless them. We bless them this day and give thanks for them, for the simple ways that they care and show forth their love and their being in our presence. May we be in God's presence and accept God's blessing to be a transformed people, to go forth into this world, to love this world, into the dream that God has for it.